Hello, my friend. This is Clyde. We are God's prized possession. Today, we're going to talk about God's church, and we are talking to the people who are part of God's church. Let me make myself abundantly clear. I'm not talking about the local church you attend, the one where your membership resides. And I'm not talking about the denomination that you are affiliated with. Rather, I am talking about the church. Let me explain. It was on a special occasion that Jesus told his disciples, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Matthew 16, verse 18. This announcement was made before he was crucified. After the crucifixion, he came back from the dead and declared that he will never die again. 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus ascended to heaven. Let me camp out here for a while. Remember, we're talking about the church. Notice his choice of words back in the Matthew text. "I will build my church." Hint. Allow me to use scriptures to make my point. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe." That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Ephesians 1 verses 18 through 23. I know that was a mouthful, but I want us to understand that the church is exclusively God's possession. Did you hear what Paul said? God has appointed him, the resurrected Jesus, to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body. Do not for one moment think that the head of the church resides in large and monumental structures in Canterbury or in Rome or elsewhere. Jesus has never abdicated or appointed any human being to be the head of the church. I go back to what he said when he announced the creation of the church. He said it is his church, and it was going to be built on himself, the rock. Later in 1 Peter 2, we hear one of his disciples, Peter himself, who, by the way, is not the rock on which the church is built, but who tells us in 1 Peter 2, verse 6, that Christ is not just the rock, but he is the chosen and precious cornerstone upon which the church is built. Paul said the same thing. Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Ephesians 3 verses 20 and 21. It might seem that I am repeating myself, but on the contrary, I am simply seeking to make a point abundantly clear. And you will see what I'm saying when we hear from Colossians 1 and verse 18. "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy or the preeminence." So who are we? We became members of the church not because of baptism, not because of our family or origin, not because of the denomination in which we worship, not because we were born in a certain place, but simply because we were born again. Each of us was admitted to the church of Jesus Christ when we did what Romans 10 verse 9 says. If you declare with your mouth, "Jesus is Lord," and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So by being born again, by being saved, we have been admitted into the church of Jesus Christ, and we are all one in Christ. Yes, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3 and verse 28. As members of the church, we have a job that comes with an exciting title that I love. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. Now, that brings me to the main point I want us to talk about. The ambassador is on assignment for the king. The ambassador functions according to the rules and constitution of the kingdom that he represents. The ambassador does what the king has sent him to do, and there is no room for the ambassador to go rogue. In other words, the ambassador is not a citizen of the world to which he has been assigned. We are world, but we are not world citizens. So contrary to the popular opinion, when we as Christ's ambassadors are in this world, we do not do what the Romans do. Jesus said it so beautifully in his prayer in John 17, that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Don't you ever forget that. I noticed that in one section of the rule book, for example, we read the following: but among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Ephesians 5 and verse 3. Did it say sexual immorality? The rule book teaches that any sexual activity that is outside of the marriage between a man and a woman is called sexual immorality. That includes fornication, sex before marriage, adultery, extramarital sexual relations, pornography that is born out of lust, homosexuality, sex between folks of the same sex. Remember, the rule book is not for the world. It is for the ambassadors who are on assignment. So guess what, ambassadors? Whoever you are, and whatever position you hold in your local church or in your denomination or in your community, you are reminded that you are not exempt from obeying the rule book. You have not been given permission to revise or abandon the rule book and do your own thing. What the king says in the rule book, that is it. My fellows and brothers and sisters, we need to go back to the rule book that is given to the church, Jesus's church, and apologize to the king for tampering with or violating or compromising the Bible, his book of rules. We are embracing actions and activities that the rule book clearly prohibits, and the king is not pleased. Let me remind us that when the king returns for the church, his body, he is coming for a glorious church, clean and ready for the marriage feast in heaven. I just thought I would stop by and share an important message. Members of the Church of Jesus, we are called, we are expected to be holy as Jesus is holy. If we confess our sins, and I am included, whether you are bishop, pastor, choir director, janitor, lay member, if we confess our sins, and this is personal, he, Jesus, is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe, just maybe, we need to stop right now and do just what 1 John 1 verse 9 tells us to do.